May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. I'm tempted to introduce my sermon today like a television show, reminding you of developments from earlier in the season. Previously, in Paul's letter to the Romans, I see some of you got that. With the exception of Trinity Sunday and Transfiguration Sunday, we've experienced a series of episodes from Paul's letter to the Romans in the 13 weeks following the Feast of Pentecost. Last week and this week, Paul describes what has been called structures of grace. The structure of grace in particular that Paul describes last week and this week is Christian community, the body of Christ, in which we are members of each other. Last week we considered what it means to be so interconnected that we are part of one another. And the connective tissue of that structure of grace is the love that God has for us, the love that we have for God, and the love that we have for one another. The very interconnectedness of our common identity in Christ provides structure to the grace that permeates our life in Christ. This week, Paul teaches the body of Christ in Rome and right here in Clemson that the structures of grace don't exist just within the walls of the church. We don't leave the structures of grace behind when we process out into the world in peace to love and serve the Lord. We don't leave our call to be sacred partners in God's mission here in the pew or in the pulpit or at the altar when we leave here today. We carry our structures of grace with us when we go out from here. Our structures of grace are all built on our interconnectedness with God and each other. They reflect the very nature of God, whose being is both singular and communal. One God, three persons, a community of love and grace. One of our primary structures of grace in the Episcopal Church is our baptismal covenant, renewed and strengthened with every Eucharistic celebration. The covenant calls for our commitment to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to resist evil, to proclaim good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all others, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. That is one of our primary structures of grace. Another structure of grace that keeps us connected to each other and to the world God created is located in our identity as disciples, followers of Jesus. And as we heard in the gospel today, being followers of Jesus means denying self and picking up our cross. The cross is a shocking structure of grace. It's often seen as a symbol of the suffering of Jesus in atonement for our sins. When I consider what it means to apprehend, to take in my hands the cross as a structure of grace, I'm reminded that grace does no harm. God's love for us does no harm and does not in itself or its purpose create suffering. Instead, what happens when we pick up our cross is grace pierces the armor of self that we build up in order to just survive in the world. Sometimes, when that armor is pierced, it can be difficult and painful. I'll use myself as an example. I am a Southerner born and raised. I love the land and the people of the South. I love the rhythm and color of Southern speech. I love the richness and texture of good Southern cooking. There are many things that I love about the South, but there is another side to the history and the culture of the South. So when I pick up my cross, it includes the knowledge that for people of color, the cross has often been that burning cross in the darkness of night that so often presaged the lynching of innocent African American men and boys. Denying myself does not mean ignoring the ways in which persons of color have experienced the structures and systems of evil here in this land that I love. In fact, it means the exact opposite. I must let God's grace pierce the armor and open my eyes to the suffering of those others. I must acknowledge and resist the lingering structures of hate and oppression that continue to call forth the evil impulses of white supremacy and white nationalism, as we saw not so long ago. When I see the results of systemic injustice and remain silent, I am complicit in that injustice. As Christians this week, we've been called to carry the cross as a structure of grace, while some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have used it as a structure of exclusion, and that is painful to be in such disagreement. But those who issued the Nashville statement that contains language that characterizes LGBT persons as not created in God's image and only able to experience God's love and grace by denying their true natures, that is part of the cross that I must carry too. And I would add that for persons who are differently oriented than I am is not what Jesus means by denying oneself. For them to deny their true nature, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Part of the transforming structure of grace that we as Episcopalians can carry into the world is our Anglican approach to reading the Bible, which relies upon reason to peel back the lenses of interpretation that have been layered onto certain passages of Scripture to support structures of exclusion. We cannot look away from the structures of oppression that have used Scripture to justify the oppression of women, the slavery and continued exploitation of persons of color, the exclusion of LGBT persons from equal protection under the law, and sadly from acceptance as members of the body of Christ in some places. Following Jesus requires us to wake up to the systems and structures of injustice all around us and to transform them with structures of grace. Jesus has already shown us how to do that. Jesus transformed a symbol of imperial structures of violent oppression into a symbol of hope and healing and peace. He did that by responding to hate with love and by responding to violence with nonviolent integrity of purpose to show the world that God's love is for everyone, that God's love will triumph over hate. Our presence in the secular world, acting in the world as the body of Christ, and bearing God's grace to transform the structures of injustice, that is how we follow what Paul wrote in his letter to overcome evil with good. Henry Nguyen wrote a reflection on Romans 12, concluding that Paul's exhortation to love, to bless, rejoice, and to live in harmony with everyone is to choose life over death, love over hate. He reminds us that we will only be able to act according to Paul's words by knowing with our whole beings that what we are asked to do for others is what God has already done for us. God has created for us structures of grace with which to overcome and transform evil. In living out our baptismal covenant, we choose life. In being members of one another, we choose love. When we pick up our cross and face the structures of evil head on, we choose grace. Following Jesus, we choose life and love and grace, and we are empowered to do for others what God has already done for us. Jesus picked up his cross and pierced the hard shell of humanity with the possibility of life and love and grace, and he has asked us to carry our cross for the sake of his name, for the sake of love and life and grace for others. What will we choose to do? How will we respond to the forces of sin and evil when we leave here today? This is a hard teaching, and I always turn to comfort, either to Scripture or to the Book of Common Prayer, and I'd like to share with you one of my favorite prayers from the daily office. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen.